NADVS Mobile. NADVS Mobile. WBAD monitoring. Good morning, Walt. You got NADVS here.
Oh, good morning, Dakota. On the way in, I take it.
You got Anthony, K8RUH.
Well, Anthony, good morning. Anthony. Yes, sir, Walt. A little late today.
Dakota,
woke up at 5, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and grabbed my phone and sit around the pillow next to me. I was like, cool, you know, lay here for 30 minutes. Wow, just got my idea. Alarm went off, turned it off, thinking I snoozed it, and I woke up at 6:30. So, finally making my way to the office at 32 and 53 here. Anthony, go ahead.
Pick it up, Anthony, and pass it over to WPAD.
Gotcha. Sorry, Walt, I didn't, I heard WBAD come in and I didn't hear you guys going, so I'll throw it over to him. Good morning, everyone, and I'll pick it back up on the next go-round.
Oh, I will pick it up. Let's see if I have it. Well, good morning, everybody, and Dakota, yeah, I got up, I slept in late, 4:30. Unbelievable. Yesterday was 2:30. Got a little running around to do today. One of my sons will drop by. He went and got my license plate tab through the internet, which I don't know how to do that stuff. It's pitiful when you're technology ignorant. Anyway, it's going to be an okay day. I'm going to make sure of that and maybe play a little HF radio. Dakota, pick it up and pass it over to Anthony, please.
Being able to get my tags online is my favorite thing. Well, I don't like having to buy tags every year on my birthday. That's a pretty crappy birthday present, but I do like being able to just go online, click a couple buttons, take my money, and they show up within a couple days. You'll have to let me know how the bands are. I've been investigating another HF rig, but I think I'm going to wait till the spring. But I do want another portable rig, but we'll see. I'm leaning towards another 891 and getting back out in the parks and screwing around with that. Go ahead, Anthony.
Dakota, anytime you want to go, I know somebody that has an 891 that would be happy to take some guidance from you on how to set it up, how to operate it. All the fun stuff. So let me know. We can meet up at Wetzel or wherever you want. But yeah, it's looking like it's going to be a nice day, Walt. Woke up to frost on the vehicles this morning. That was a fun new weather piece for the day. I mean, we haven't had frost since last spring. So winter is coming. It's time. And I'll throw it over to Walt, or I'll throw it over to Walt. Walt, if I can't remember the call sign of the other gentleman, I don't know if he's still here or what.
Okay, Anthony. Darn it, I had a thought and it escaped me. But yeah, as I've been telling everybody, my three sons are raising me now, and it's wonderful. It really is. And when one of them comes over, I make sure I stumble when I walk and, you know, act feeble. But, I used to love winter. You know, it was pheasant hunting would be the 20th of October, and then we'd get into deer hunting, ice fishing, spring breakup for fishing, just having a ball. You know, I know what my thought was. I always maintain, get a good deal on a used radio if you're going to go like Larkin and Park, like you know, a group of us do down here. Don't spend the big dollars for a Larkin and Park radio. Get a good used one. Anthony? Pardon me. Dakota, pick it up.
I know. I passed that model up a couple weeks ago. ago. Someone was selling one for like $500 and passed up on it for some reason, and now I'm back to the drawing board. The good thing is they're not crazy expensive. They're slightly more than a good mobile. Problem with HF though, it's the antennas, the power supplies, the tuners, the nano VNAs. There's a lot more that goes in HF than just plopping a mag mount on a car than getting power to a radio. So I've got time. For some reason, I enjoy doing activations when it's freezing cold out rather than when it's hot out. So I'm going to keep an eye out for Black Friday, Christmas time, see what shows up. And then I think that's when I'll probably buy one and start getting back on the air. Plus, around that time, money's about done. There's really nothing else to do. So that's when I'll start playing radio again.
Yeah, let me know anytime you want to go. But yesterday, Walt and I were talking about, I was telling him how I need to start studying for my general, and he made a good suggestion, and probably something that I had thought about was wintertime's a good time to study, and that's what I think I'm going to try to do. I'm not making any commitments because I'm not going to let it get in the way of life and doing fun stuff with friends and family, but hopefully by the spring I will have spent enough time here and there that I can go get tested, and then I will be out with you gentlemen picking your brains and trying to figure out how to properly utilize HF. Over to you, Walt. K-E-8-R-U-H.
WB80. Well, Anthony, get the book, highlight the right answers. In the right answer, if there is one word, now hear me out, one word that does not appear in the wrong answers, take a ballpoint and a straight edge and draw a line under that one word. That's the buzzword. Your subconscious mind will pick it up when you read the question and the right answer. Always highlight the right answer. Don't draw a circle around the right answer like D. Everybody does it. I did it on every written test. The only test I had to study for was the CW. It did take me about a year, my third try, to get the 13 words per minute. And after that, I quit studying and started, well, another story, started using it and having a ball. And as I always mentioned, I have no qualms about the dropping of the code requirement. I think it was very good for the hobby, and got a lot of people reinterested in the hobby. Dakota?
A day, 30 minutes a week, just spend some time getting familiar with the terms and re-familiar with some of the terms, but I'll get there, and then I'll be out playing like you guys. Walt, over to you. KE8RU8.
WB80. I don't care if a person sits on the can and takes the book with them and studies that way. You don't have to be a general. And I don't mean that, you know, being persnickety. A lot of people are comfortable with the tech license. Nothing wrong. Here a while back, I gave away a 10-meter, Radio Shack, 25-watt radio. I don't know if the guy's using it. I think he got out of the hobby. And I Dakota, people are going to start getting ready for Christmas. And if you can make the swaps, which you did, have a few bucks in your pocket and pick up something. The radio I'm talking about is used. The two mobile radios, one is my base unit, and the other is my vehicle unit, the JSU 100 used, HF rig used. The only new radio is the, which isn't new anymore, is the ICOM 703 Plus QRP rig. I have it set up for CW. And, new doesn't have to be new. That 991A, that's a very tempting radio. You have C4 FM of Wires X. And, of course, the HF. Today's new rigs and tuners are not that good like they used to be. I don't know why. Over to you, Dakota. WB8E in the group. Let's pause and see if anybody wants to jump in.
10-8 DBF. I know. The 991A was one of the first, was the first radio that I wanted before I think I even had tech. I was like, I'm going to get that radio, but I ended up with a 7300 instead, which I had zero complaints about that rig, worked all 50 states with it, jacked all over the world with it, and then, did what I usually do, got out of the hobby for a little bit, pulled out of gear. So, my criteria now for a radio, it's got to be portable, it's got to be small, and it's got to be at least 25 watts, so the 891 kind of fits all of those criteria, and it's got, there's a company called Armlock that makes a steel cage for it that relocates everything on the back of it to the front of it so you can drop it in a bag and you don't even have to take it out. So I'm leaning towards that. I don't really care to have a tuner. I'm a wire guy, so I think that's right. I'm going to take, I'm definitely going to put this 75 up for sale. I should be able to pull enough money out of this and all the accessories to pay for an 891. And then, you know, you're left with everything else. Like, wire, I've got a ton of that. I just need to get a transformer, and then I need to get a battery. Other than that, I'm ready to go.
Dakota, did you wholesale sell everything? Did you even sell that battery that I sent over to you? That's, you got rid of everything. That's crazy. Well, I'll throw it over to you.
Yeah, on my QRP rig, everything is in a cooler. I bought it at Odd Lot for $10 the cooler. Hard, put everything in, nothing's rattling around. I got my radio, I've got my key. Above it I have a Radio Shack DSP and speaker. The key I got for nothing, the Radio Shack DSP and speaker, I think I got $5 invested in that. And one of the guys put in a zero beat circuit. The radio has a 400 hertz INRAD CW filter. And is it waterproof? No, but it's weatherproof. It's been worked out great for, 15 years. So anyway, guys, I got to make a pit stop. Go ahead, Dakota. Sorry to run out on you guys. Nature calls. WB80 clear.
No worries, Walt. Good hearing from you. I'll talk to you soon. I have seen the cooler rig at the Larks. Some guy came in and he offered, I forgot what he offered me, but basically for the rest of my accessories, because I didn't have any HF gear per se left. But I had, my mast and some wire antennas and things like that, and the battery. So he gave me way more than I think I could have got for it. So I was like, sure, here you go. So yeah, I got to start over. But like I said, if I sell my 75, I got the speaker mic, the case, the charging cradle. I'm trying to think if I got anything else for this. Maybe not. But I got probably about $700, $750 worth of stuff into it, so I could probably pull six out of it, and that'll pay for my $891.
That'll be good. And then will you be without a dual band radio, or are you going to buy something to put in your truck?
I ordered an FTM 500 yesterday, so that should be here today or tomorrow. So then the truck's situated, and then I have two waterproof radios at home that are dual band, single VFO, and I'll have those if I ever want an HD. So I love HDs. I think they're the most fascinating or the coolest, but they're the least useful to me because I live in the middle of nowhere.
Man, you're preaching to the choir. I don't live in the middle of nowhere, but I do live in a radio dead zone, and that is quantified by Sean. He always tells me, man, you live in no man's land for radio. And I don't know why that is. I wonder if, you know, people aren't willing to put the infrastructure in that far east when, you know, half of the range goes into Lake St. Clair, or if it's just that there isn't support for it down there, but it's crazy. So, yeah, you're going to have to start all over. I just bought a small BioNO battery, and I'm putting together a little bag for that DB20, and so I can run that anywhere, whether I'm in my wife's car, in my car, in the woods, at a buddy's house, whatever. So I got a pretty cool little rig going there, but I might be looking for a new mobile for the house. I got to figure out a dual band mobile for the house. But then you start looking, and maybe I could just get an all band radio and be good to go with that. So, you know, you could spend $1 million if you want.
That's actually a sweet idea, is taking that DB20G and making a portable setup out of it, because it's so small. 20 watts, does what it needs to do. That's actually a really good idea. Bring a little mag mount antenna or something. But yeah, I mean, you could, sky's the limit with this stuff. The good thing is now that I've gone through the ringer and tried a ton of different gear, I know exactly what I want this time around, so at least I won't be wasting money in that aspect. This sucks that I now have to rebuy basically everything I had, because I had one rig that just worked. Like that 891 I told you, that thing, I don't think I ever ran it over 50 watts, and I was able to work Alaska with a hamstick for my truck bed. So it's an awesome rig. You saw that one photo activation. I think that's exactly what I want for MCOM, for POTA, for you name it. I don't really care to have a waterfall. I'm not tuning around anymore. It's going to serve a purpose, and that is to be, for one, 100 watts, two, small, packable, and three, you know, it's not a $1,800, $1,500 705 where if I take it out in the field, I'm worried I'm going to break it. So I'm going to definitely end up with one of those.
Yeah, that'll be cool. I will send you some pictures of where I'm at on that, on my bag setup of that DB20G. I think it's going to turn out pretty good. You know, there's a couple people that are making portable bags, and they're super expensive. I just found something on Amazon for $15 that I think is going to work. I have a roll-up J-pole and one of those signal stick mag mounts to run it with, and can just run around town wherever, and it's so far so good. I'm pretty impressed. There's some small details that I gotta fix. One thing that I think ultimately I'm gonna have to learn how to do, and I've been saying it for probably 20 years because I always think I can make gear better, is I need to learn how to sew, and then I will be on a war path modifying all my gear. But in the meantime, I think I'm going to outsource that. And I need to sew some Velcro in and make some elastic straps and things like that to fix the radio to the bag. But it's going to be high speed. It'll be awesome.
Dude, I literally have a finger sewing machine in my Amazon cart right now because that is like the one thing that always holds me back on projects that I'm trying to accomplish. Plus, I'm super short and a little thick, so I always got to hem my pants. But, I started researching sewing machines the other day because of that exact reason. I'm like, you know how nice it would be if I could make my own stuff out of fabric? Not make clothes. I'm not interested in any of that. But, like, for example, my dad carries a Kydex wallet that has a 1.5-inch elastic band around it for his cash. Well, it's all stretched out, and he can only buy 1.5-inch elastic by the roll. I'm like, God, if I had a sewing machine, I could just make as many of these as I wanted for you. And then I'm thinking, okay, I can have my pants. I can sew Velcro on. Like, all these stupid little things, all my hunting gear. Like, why don't I know how to sew? And I took sewing at home ec. That was in, like, sixth grade, though. But, I'm going down that rabbit hole this winter for sure. I'm going to teach myself how to sew.
Yeah, I have never found a bag, backpack, whatever, a, call it technical piece of gear that I didn't feel like I could improve for my use. And I go down the rabbit hole like once every 3 years out of frustration and then find out that there's a sewing class here or there and it never works out time-wise for me. So I just have never went through with it. But if you figure out that there's a sewing class at like one of the fabric store or somewhere like that, dude, I'm all in. Let's go. I'll do it on a Saturday. I'll do it on a Tuesday. I don't care. But I think that skill would be probably one of the best skills we could probably have. It'd be so useful. You'd use it all the time.
YouTube, dude. I started looking at videos. There's a bunch of hot women teaching you how to sew. Like, it's a no-brainer. I'm in.
Yeah, YouTube's good, but I'll bet it, you know, I think there's one on Woodward. There's like a fabric store that sells sewing machines, and they do classes every once in a while. And YouTube's good, but, man, I bet those ladies that work there and some old ladies that have been doing it for 50 years could show you tricks that you could never pick up on YouTube.
That's also true, but, I don't know, it'll be like everything else, right? If I get the gist of it, I can refine and hone my own skills and figure out what works for me, but, yeah, that's been on my list for a long time. It's just one of those things that's like, man, what a not interesting thing to learn and spend a bunch of time and money on, but, man, would it be useful? So, I'm going to start investigating that because there's a lot of things I can do on my own if I can figure that out. But, all right, man, I'm rolling in the office here nice and late, so I will, I'll catch up with you later. Today's a friggin' late day, unfortunately, so probably be on around 6-ish. I don't know if anyone will be out, so I'll be clear for yours. NATBS.
All right, Dakota, I'll catch up with you soon, maybe this evening, maybe tomorrow morning. This is KE8RUH, and I'll be clear also.
WB8E monitoring.
WB8E, Victor Echo 3 Tango Mike Gold.
Good morning, my friend. Here we go again. Is his name Tim? Tim, you got walls here. The waste is a terrible thing to mine.
No, it's Terry, but no big deal. Yeah, it's been a long time, Walt. Usually get on this early, but I figured I'd put the radio on scan, and I haven't heard you in a while, thought I would say, oh, let me know if I'm making the machine okay. I can up the power a bit if I need be.
Well, good to hear from you, Jerry. You know, when it comes to names and calls, it's terrible. Yeah, you're making the machine great. And, there's a little bit of frost on the roof of the shed in my backyard. I'll be darned. Winter will be upon us. So what have you been doing lately? We've been going to our larks in the park and having a little, well, I'm old, a little physical problem. Missed a few of them, but maybe we'll get one more in before the weather sets in. Back to you, my friend.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be really nice, starting to warm up, especially for, I think, the weekend out through the early part of next weekend. My wife stays off for Monday and Tuesday, and we're going to head out probably to the point on Monday. I think it's supposed to be like 72 on Monday, sunny, and then Tuesday maybe 69. And I told her, I said, we got to get out. This weather is not lasting much longer. So we're going to head out to Leamington, go to the point, just kind of hang around, enjoy the weather. We have not did much this summer. We did get up to Godrich, which we usually do a couple times, but we just haven't got out yet that much. We're going to get on the Lark. I've been doing a little bit of mobile. As you know, I'm in an apartment now, and I can't work the Europeans to the east because they've got to go back through the building. Going west, not a problem. So I've been jumping in the car every now and again, and I love 10 meters. And then parking down by the river making a few contacts into Europe and that from the car. I haven't been in a little bit, but I might go today, this morning, if the band is good. It didn't seem all that great yesterday. I was out and I tuned around when we were shopping, didn't hear much, so I said the heck with it. So I might get out to the mobile today or tomorrow and maybe make four or five, six contacts into Europe just to kind of play around a little bit. Go ahead.
Oh, man, Leamington, Point Pelee. Write down this call. K4OGO. K4OGO. He operates out of his vehicle in Norfolk, Virginia, and North Carolina. Really interesting. I love his videos, and I have a ball listening to him. Of course, I lived down there to number one for a couple years. 3 years, two and a half years. Leamington, oh man, I loved it there. Fishing off the pier. We'd start in the old coal docks in Windsor for the Detroit River perch run. People didn't realize that. It was just a phenomenal perch run. Of course, I'm going back a lifetime, Terry. And we'd follow them all the way up, fishing from the shore all the way to Leamington. And the bait shop, I forgot his name. He was a Detroit Tigers fan, had all the stuff, you know, hanging in the bait shop. And his mother ran the little carry-out restaurant across the street. And then, of course, the hotel opened up at noon to get the beautiful Canadian draft beer. And, of course, Point Pelee for the smelt run. Great memories. Back to you.
Yeah, I want to be talking about the Seacliff Hotel right down by the dock. You wouldn't believe the changes. Of course, the old wooden dock has been gone for years and years, and they've got a whole section where you pull in for the ferry now, and they really did the marina. It's huge. Well, not huge, huge, but it's really done up nice. They got a nice walkway from the marina that you can walk all the way to the dock, and you just cross the little road there, and there's a wooden walkway from Burgess's to the along the beach to Seacliff. And a lot of the buildings there are gone. They just tore down. There was a big restaurant, a two-story building in behind Burgess's. It was been there since I was a kid when I lived out there, and they tore it down. So now Burgess's is the lone standing spot. And the rumor is, well, let me get a minute. The rumor is he just leases that little spot of land. I didn't know that. And the rumor is that the town might not renew his lease because they're power hungry and want to grab all that land and make money off it. They're even talking about paid parking at Seacliff. This mayor's got to go in that town. She is just a, you know what, money-grabbing bitch, to put it lightly. I can't stand her. But anyway, those are just some of the changes, so yeah. Incredible, all the changes. Some good, like the marina's cool. When I lived across the street from the marina, it was nothing but a field, and that was it. And the dock, I still miss the wooden dock and being able to drive around there, but they did it pretty good. They got benches and a gazebo and stuff. So, you know, Seacliff Beach has never been better with the wooden walkways, and they got a couple volleyball nets and stuff and a pavilion down there now, so... They really did a good job with the beach and everything. Go ahead.
Bruce, Burgesses. Yeah, thank you for reminding me of the name. And they had beautiful foot-long chili dogs and ice cream. I'm going way back, you know. God, I can't even remember what decade it was, Terry. We camped at Rondo Provincial Park, and we take the long way home and stop there in Leamington and get the chili dogs and the ice cream for the kids. And I love camping at that area there. The beaches were beautiful. Where that subdivision is, used to be greenhouses, and a Ukrainian family owned it. And the grandson came out to the pier one day, and I told the grandson, you Ukrainians don't make pierogies like us Polaks do. And the kid went back to the grandparents' house. He comes back with a plate of pierogies, and more or less said, my grandmother said, shove it up your dupa because we make better pierogies. So she sent over a plate of homemade pierogies. You can't beat people. Go ahead, Terry.
Very good. We like going out there whenever we can. We like Colchester, too. We go to Colchester a lot. Excuse me. A lot of times they got a nice beach there, too. It's not as big as Seacliff, but they've got a small marina. And they got a little canteen that serves ice cream and hamburgers and stuff. Excuse me. They weren't near as good as Burgess's, but still. And usually a lot of times spend the time up on the grassy part, which is, way over top the beach. So you get a nice view of the lake. And they got washrooms there. They got a splash pad and a play park for the kids and picnic tables and stuff. And sometimes we go down there and just spend the day doing like a picnic lunch type of thing. And if I get bored, I just go to the car and play radio because it's right on the lake and probably, 100 feet up, 80 feet up from the beach. So it's a good takeoff spot for working mobile, too.
WB80, well, I've always been pro-Canadian. I have always claimed it's the last civilized country on the continent. And I'm sincere about it. Why did I camp over in Canada? Because in the day, our campgrounds, state campgrounds, were nothing but dope heads. Everybody wanted to be stupid. I found out about Rondo. I set up one day, these three huge Canadian young adults, teenagers, came over, and I go, what's this all about? And they said, if our music is too loud, please tell us. Oh, my God. And then we were camping on Lake St. Clair for the pickerel walleye run, Stony Point, little family-run campground. And then we went to, what the hell's the name of that golf course there? God, I can't, I'm losing it, Jerry. We was camped there. My buddy put up a trailer there. He didn't like it. I used it all one summer camping in my little 16-foot aluminum boat, fishing for pickerel. Rochester Place? Does that sound right? Oh, man. Anyway, nobody will bother us. Not that I was looking for trouble, Terry, but you people were so civilized that way.
Yeah, okay. I've always wanted to kind of, we do a lot of day trips and kind of almost, I only go so far because, I'm kind of getting up there in age. And, well, we don't have a dog anymore. Unfortunately, we had to put him down a little bit before he moved here. But, with the dog, we never bring him. But, we couldn't leave him by himself overnight. So he could never, go way out there and then spend a night in a motel, right? So we could only go so far. And we pretty well hit everywhere that you can hit on this side for the most part. And oftentimes, shoot onto your side and check out some of the sites you guys have for day trips, but I just too cheap to pay the money for an enhanced license, and the wife would need a passport, and I said, I just can't be bothered. But, like I say, we just, and I wrote that call, K4OGO, I'll check him out. I've got a basic mobile setup. I'm basically like 10 meters, and I can operate a couple bands, but I got a couple of ham sticks, and I got a Wilson 2000 that's on a mag mount for 10. And I found out by accident I can load it on 12, and actually works pretty good. Man, I got an Icom 7100, just 100 watts. I love the radio. The antenna works good, but I'm sure there's way more better antennas and stuff, but I just not in my car enough and not that adamant about it. I mean, I can get out there when the band's open and seem to have no trouble making contact, so I haven't sunk any more money into the antennas. Like I say, I got a couple ham sticks and got a whole set of Hustler resonators, but since I moved into the apartment, I use them for the base. So I don't have them in the car anymore. So I'm pretty well relegated to VHF, UHF, 10 and 12, 40 and 80 right now. Really like to get a 15-meter ham stick, but I haven't found one yet. So, like I say, I don't have the best mobile setup, but I make contacts. But I'll check that guy's page out anyway and see what he has to say. I know there's a lot of neat mobile setups out there that'll put mine to shame, but hey, I can keep up 100 watts mobile and work Russia, I'm happy, which I've done multiple times. They seem to really catch the / mobile when I say it. They might not even catch my call, but they'll hear the mobile. It's amazing how that happens.
Yeah, I, you know, I do nothing but CW. And for years, the best operators in the world were CW ops for Russians. I think in the day they had to have a couple hundred, not QSL cards, what the hell should it call it? You know, when you're just listening. It's a rough morning. Anyway, by the time they got their license, they were all club stations then. Just, you know, fabulous CW operators. I would take my aluminum boat from Alter Road, which is across from, let's say, Peach Island. And during the heat of the summer when fishing was a little bit down, and I'd go out in the lake with my QRP rig. It was a 40-meter MFJ in a cooler, all hard-mounted, and drift down to back to the mouth of the river, Lake St. Clair I'm referring to, and WB80/MM, Marine Mobile. And when people found out I was in a 16-foot aluminum boat, it sort of took the wind out of their sails. Go ahead, Terry. And let's pause if anybody else wants to jump in.
You know, people like myself, like working different things like that. People in boats, whether it's a little aluminum, that's unusual, too. Lots of boats out there, but usually fair-sized, you know, pleasure craft. Or I've worked a couple guys on the cruise ships that hang a tent on the balcony or something, and that kind of thing. Or aircraft is fun, but yeah, you say / mobile or MM, yeah, they're right in there. And technically, I'm not even mobile because I'm always parked. I don't drive around and try to operate HF. I end up getting into an accident for sure. It's okay for VHF, UHF, you park it on a frequency and you yak. You're not dialing up and down the band and you're not trying to log and all that stuff, and I do want to log my HF contacts, so I park somewhere. And at first I was telling people, yeah, I'm parked, but I don't even bother anymore. I just say / mobile, and a lot of guys, well, mobile safe, I don't bother to correct them. If I didn't say the mobile, I'd hardly get through half the time, I'm sure of that. But, you know, so technically, legally, I'm not mobile. I should be saying / portable, which I did, but I say, you know what, screw that, I'm just going to say mobile, not a big deal. That's what I do. So, I used to, you know, I didn't even have a parking spot in the parking lot here. It took me 14 months to get one because they never built enough parking, so you have to wait, and it took me 14 months. I finally got one, but before that, I would just park a little south of the building on the road, and that was fine. I had a clear shot to the east, and I could work all I wanted. Well, now I'm right by the building in the parking lot, so I actually got to move my car, so I go down to Chewett Dock. Which is just as you're getting into Sandwich, nice little view, and I just park there and do my operating there. It's right on the river, and I seem to do pretty good there. Go ahead.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, we've been hitting the parks. I have not made all of them this year. Last year was a funny year. I had a hernia operation. I went in the spring, and the doctor assured me he'd get right to me. I had to wait 2.5 months. I couldn't lift anything. I get the hernia operation, and he said, you're clear to lift your batteries, you're here. You know, the battery's 20 pounds, an old battery. And he said, you had another little hernia, I didn't bother with it. A couple days after that, I'm serious, that thing imploded. So I couldn't lift anything by the time he got to me. So I had two hernia operations last year. Really took the snot out of me. I'm serious, you know. You have socialized medicine, we have Wall Street medicine. And then this year, I'm having a little trouble with my balance. I don't know why. Every doctor I go to, they run tests and groom me to another doctor. I said, the hell is it? I'm just old. I'm just old. I've had a great life. I really have. You mentioned Godrich. Oh, my God. We used to rent a cottage there. I can't remember the name of the beach there, right outside Godrich. And for the perch run, people forget there was a hell of a perch run, huge perch. Of course, with all the stuff, the boulders there is a great place to lose an anchor, which I did the first time I went out. A Danforth anchor. And you had to carry the boat up. You and your friends carry the boat off the trailer because there was no launch there. Can't remember the beach area, but the guy who owned the cottages, Matt, would go down to the Caribbean, and he worked a fish factory. Back to you, Jerry.
Well, that's a hell of a job. I've seen them on TV, how those big boats, huge nets, and they pull them in, and they process everything right on the boat. That's one hell of a job. I don't think I would like that. I need to go home when I'm off work. I don't think I would like any job where I had to be at work 24/7. Although, I wish I would have known this when I was younger, now living right by the river. And I've always enjoyed watching the ships, but I don't know. I think I could have liked a merchant marine type of life, but I had no clue that I was even a thing, to tell you the truth. So, but yeah, we really like God. We usually go twice a year. We only made it once this year, and yeah, very good on the hernia. That's not fun at all. Sounds like you're better now. Last year, I was screwed for health. I thought I was dying, literally. I lost like 50 pounds in like a month and a half. I couldn't lift anything. I had shoulders. I had to go for therapy for my shoulders. They're not cured, but I mean, I'm not in constant pain. It got so bad, I couldn't even roll over. I had to sleep just on my back because it hurt too much. And I got that kind of cleared up, and then I lost all that weight. I was going for CT scans and ultrasounds and x-rays and blood work, seeing this specialist, that doctor, and then it all kind of went away. Shortly after we moved here, a few months in, I started feeling myself again, and couldn't even think straight. My mind was even gone. Let me get a minute. It was weird. It was like I was hungover real bad. You know what I mean? You can't really think straight when you first get up, and it was like that forever, and I slowly got back to normal and gained almost all the weight back, which I'm not happy about. And I never did figure out what it was. We kind of concluded it was probably stress for us getting evicted, happened to try to frantically find a place that we could move to that we could afford, and so kind of figured it was stress. But last year, man, it was not a good time for me at all.
Hey, quickly, Jerry, do they still sell those 222 aspirins, codeine three, over the counter in Windsor?
I'd have to ask, but I don't see why they don't. That's funny. All my American friends love them things. Bill, NASPQ. We used to come over here a lot, and I'd go over there, and anytime he would come, that's the first place he would hit was the pharmacy for a bunch of 222s. I'd have to ask when I'm in the pharmacy, but I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah, being of Polish descent, all us Polacks, would we go over to drink the great draft beer, of course I'm going way back, but get a generic version for $9.99. American. I think you got 250 of those pills. And before you go to bed, you take two of those and you didn't wake up with a horrible hangover. That's terrible. It really is. Oh, my God. Anyway, I got to get rolling here, my friend. I got some running around to do. I've got to do my toiletries and eat something before I leave the house. I'm to that point, you know, if I don't get food in me and I'm out and about, it's not good for me. Hey, don't be a stranger. I try to get on this repeater every morning that I can, talk to my friends here. And good luck on your mobile endeavors. So stay safe. WBAE. Ciao for now.
Okay, well, real quick, is the Zombie Network still up? Because I've tried to bring it up on Fusion, and I'm not hearing anything come back. So is the Zombie and all that stuff still up and running?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sure is. I don't know why. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we're going to have our net on there. Okay, check into that and go to the different repeaters and see which one works best for you. We've got like two in Mount Clemens, one in West Bloomfield, and one in St. Clair Shores. The one in St. Clair Shores has a very small footprint, but maybe it'll work best for you.
Okay, well, the West Bloomfield, I got a program, and I used to hit that no problem, and I hit it when I first moved here, but I don't know, I haven't heard the beep lately, so maybe I'm just, I don't know. I'll check the net if I can hear it, and I'll tell about the signal strength, so. Okay, thanks for the info. I was just curious about that. 73, BE3TMG.
I should be net controls, so you better check in where I look good. If we get a guy from BT4 land now, very interesting. WP80 clear.
Hey, B1.
NHKTP reporting for duty. NHKPP Richmond.
KEA TFM mobile. KFA-DAS Mobile.
K-E-8-R-U-H mobile.
W-A-G-I-O, what's going on?
This is K-E-8-R-U-H. I believe somebody called out. I took a phone call right after I called out. So if anybody's out there, call back out, and I will talk to you if you're there.
Yeah, W-A-G-I-O. Yeah, I kind of figured that's what happened. That's usually what happens. Rochester Ben, how are you doing today?
Ben, doing pretty good, pretty good. I'm out and about running some errands, and hopefully we'll be home shortly. What about you?
Same, same. Big Beaver and Crooks headed north to Rochester to go home and see what fresh hell awaits once I get home. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm Jefferson and 10 Mile heading to Clinton Township to head back down to St. Clair Shores and just all over the east side this afternoon.
Yeah, I still got to get out that way for the cannoli, man. I can't stop thinking about it. Every time I hear you guys on the radio, I'm like, oh, crap, I got to get down there and get Anthony to hook me up.
Yeah, or we'll have to figure something out. I work in Troy, so I don't know if there's a day that you work remote and head over that direction or some way that we can cross paths because those cannolis are delicious. I'd be happy to stop and grab
you. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, my office is at 14 in Pierce, basically 14 in Woodward in Birmingham / Beverly Hills. So right in the Troy area, so I literally can meet anywhere, anytime. Just let me know.
Yeah, we'll have to work something out. I'm at in between 14 and 15 in Stevenson. So we're a couple miles from each other.
No, that's perfect, man. I would most love a delivery. And if you need anything on this side of town, especially meat-wise or whatever, let me know, and I will we'll do a home-and-home, as it were.
Yeah, sounds good. Next time, maybe if you're on in the morning next week, let's try to link up and see if we can figure something out. I go in Monday through Thursday. So we could definitely figure something out.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Yeah, I got on this morning and I caught you in Dakota. You're about halfway through the rig discussion. So in my truck, which I'm in right now, I've got a Yaesu 500 is for my mobile rig in the truck. And then I've also got a FT891 in the truck too. And both are just fantastic. I love them. But I haven't gotten it yet, but I just got the notification that I'm one of the lucky guys for an FT6R, I think it is. It's this little tiny 20-watt, it's like $500, which is outrageous, but it's a little 20-watt, not quite QRP because it can go to 20 watts, but that's going to be sort of my POTA rig, so I'm looking forward to that. I've read some really good things about it.
That's pretty cool. So it's a HF rig? It's a 20-watt HF rig?
Yes, sir. 20 watt, up to 20 watt. It's HF and 6 meter. So I have 80, 40, 20, the whole shebang, just not 160, and then 6 meter. So, I've done a fair bit of recon on it, and this comes directly from the guy who makes them by hand, and they're quite exquisite, so everybody seems to like them a lot. They're super tiny, so I travel a fair bit for work, and I'm looking for something to chuck in my backpack along with a wire antenna and something to have fun with. So, but yeah, I was listening to you talk about the go bag and the sewing this morning. I was laughing because that's something I've wanted to do as well. I ended up getting for my 891. I went to Armor Lock and got those. He makes these really sweet metal brackets, and then I just, kind of like you, I just found on Amazon a Molly pouch that it worked fine with it, but I want to check them out. That might be something to help you out like for your rig.
Yeah, I will check that out. I've seen those Armor Locks. They're pretty nice, but I haven't really excuse me, accessorized 891. I spend most of my time on the radio when I'm driving or, you know, mobile, so I got obviously a radio in my car, and now with that bag that I put together with that 20-watt radio, I can just take it in my wife's car. The cool thing about that little radio, I don't know if you're familiar with it, is it also will just plug into the cigarette lighter in your car. So whether I have it in the bag or not, I can have a radio in the car. It's just, I put it in that bag, got a small radio, so that I can, you know, if I want, I can do anything with it. I can throw it in somebody else's car. I can take it into the woods with me. Really just wanted something to play with, and super mobile. So I'm excited that I have it almost all together, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, no, that would be fantastic. In fact, when we get together for the cannoli drop, I'll make sure I bring my truck and show you how I got it set up in here. But I got the 891 stuffed under the seat. It's a crew cab, so it's under the seat in the back seat. And it's in the armor lock frame, but I Velcroed the bottom of the unit, so it stayed put in the truck. And then if I want to take it out, I converted everything to Anderson power poles. So I put power pole connectors in the back, and it's just literally a hook the antenna, and I can stick it in the bag and go if I want to take the 891. So, but yeah, the truck, because we drive up north every weekend, and I do HF, it's fun. I end up doing the Hunter POTA stuff, just driving up I-75. It's hilarious. But people are like, you're driving I'm going 70 miles an hour. And it's working good, but yeah, it's super fun.
Sorry, I missed that one. I had to switch repeaters. I apparently got out of range of the Warren FBI and moved over to the Mount Clemens repeater, so, which is odd. I don't know why I'd be out of range yet, but whatever. So I don't know. I don't know what you said. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries. I just was saying when we do the cannoli drop, I'll make sure I bring my truck, and you can see how I got the 891 set up in here. Because I have it in an armor lock frame, but I Velcro the underbelly of the unit, the radio, so it sits under the seat perfectly, and then I converted everything to Anderson power poles, so I can literally unhook the antenna and, you know, take it, stick it in a backpack or a Molly pouch, and I can take the 891 if I want to do POTA. But having buying this little 20-watt deal, I'm looking forward to learning that. My next project is CW. I think I'm nuts for even trying to figure it out, but that's going to be my next challenge, I think.
KE8RUH. Yeah, that's a pretty cool undertaking. Probably, it's on my list, but low on my list of things to learn, so it'd be fun to learn it and be proficient, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. The proficient part is, like, I just want to just, like, send out a CQ and have somebody respond back to me, and then I'll consider that a major victory. But, yeah, so my goal for this year is to just get sort of be able to make one contact on CW and finish my extra. And then if I do both those things this year, it'll be a good year.
Heck, yeah, those are some lofty goals with it being the middle of October. So good on you.
Yeah, both kids are, one's in school, one just graduated, got his first big boy job, so empty nester-ish, and plenty of time on my hands. My wife has got her things, and she leaves me alone to be a radio dork, so it works out well. So yeah, I set the extra goal at the beginning of the year, and I'm an accountant, and CPA stuff gets in the way, you know, tax-wise, but now I'm finding a spot where I got some time to dedicate to it, so yeah, that's I'll pick back up my extra studying here probably this weekend, hopefully.
Yeah, I can imagine having adult children and having one of them totally out of the house makes a big difference. I am not in that situation. For several years, I have to go before that, but you know, I'm always, and I only have one, so. But we're in the Uber parent mode where we just have to pick her up and drop her off and pick her up and drop her off, and, you know, it's always something. But it's fun. I'm not complaining at all.
Yeah, for sure. And it goes quick. When you just said that, it reminded me of the old Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. I don't know if you watch or listen to them on NPR, but their Russian taxi firm was Pick Up and Drop Off. I always thought that was funny. But yeah, it goes quick, dude, so make sure you enjoy it while you can. One just got his first big boy job, so he's out. And then the other one's a sophomore down at Clemson, so he's just, you know, he just calls when he needs money, basically. So a lot of time on my hands.
I can imagine, and probably calls often for money.
100%, that's a whole different, I could spend a whole afternoon on that subject, but it's fine, you know, they only get to go through that once, and, you know, I want them to enjoy it and do well. I mean, both kids are mechanical engineers, so they're took a very hard curriculum and taking a hard curriculum, so I want them to be able to blow some steam off, but I also want them to not put their mother and I in the poorhouse if we can avoid it.
Yeah, for sure. I can imagine they can put you in the poorhouse pretty quickly. But, hey, I am pulling into my first stop here, so I am going to let you go. I will hop back on the radio when I'm done. If you're still on, I will talk to you. Otherwise, have a great evening, and I will listen to your final. This is K8RUH, and I will be clear.
Roger, Roger. Yes, I'm almost home, too, so this actually works out well. Yeah, have a great balance of the day, and we'll connect next week on the cannoli drop. Looking forward to that one for sure. So with that, WHGIO, clear of the channel.
NADDF mobile. EAP, KK7 to you.
KK7 to you, this is WAEAP. I got you in there, but you're really scratchy. I mean, you're barely in there.
I don't know if you can hear me. I can hear you in the noise a little bit. It probably will work once I get an outside antenna, but it's not working with what I've got now. KK7 to you.
Roger. Oh, dinner's ready. Maybe I'll catch you in a little while on the other one. Have a good one. W8EAP.
KK7CU from W8FU.
WFSM mobile. KV0DCO, monitoring. KV0DCO, monitoring. NAWJL, KV0DCO.
Hello?
Roger.
N8WJL, N8WJL, KV0DCO. Nothing heard, KV0DCO, back to monitoring.